What's going on, guys? Chris Mead back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons. I got Adam Reed on the show, founder of Crown & Paw. How are you, man?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, dude. So I reached out to you, maybe 3 weeks ago. Funny enough, before you get into Crown & Paw, I will admittedly try to rip off this dude's business and make my own a year ago because I thought it was such a damn good idea. And I saw that Adam was following me on Twitter and I'm like, holy shit, that's the guy who invented Crown & Paw. So I had to have you come on the show. First, tell the audience what Crown & Paw is if they are not familiar.
Yeah, sure. Crown & Paw basically is a custom art business where we take a photo of your pet and then our team of artists will transform it into a realistic looking Renaissance style portrait or any other kind of style of artwork, print it on a canvas, poster, mug, whatever you've ordered, and ship it out to you. So basically custom print on demand for pets.
And how did you think of the idea? What was the brainchild for this?
So I was in Amsterdam for a weekend and the weather was really bad. It was raining all the time. So we just ended up in museums for most of the trip. And I was in the Rijksmuseum and I just remember being in awe of all these crazy, massive Renaissance portraits, huge scenes of war and, I don't know, royal families and all this stuff. I can't remember. And my ex-girlfriend at the time had just got a dog. So when I came home, I was like, right, what gift can I get her that kind of commemorates the occasion of getting this new dog? And I ended up on Etsy and came across these hand-painted portraits, but they were like a few hundred dollars, probably like $300. And I already was fairly familiar with Photoshop and knew that we could do it on Photoshop. So I found a guy online on Upwork and I was just like, look, this is a stupid idea, but just hear me out. Can you put this dog's face in this costume and show me what it looks like? And he did it and it was picture perfect. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, right, this is going to smash on Facebook and Instagram. I need to get a Shopify store set up this weekend. And yeah, that was it.
Dude, that's so crazy. And were you an entrepreneur before or was this like a first time thing?
No, I was one of those kids in high school that was always doing whatever he could to make money online, selling random stuff on eBay, using my mum and dad's PayPal account because I was too young. Selling random stuff. I was always that guy since the age of 14, 15.
That's awesome, dude. I used to do the same thing. Whenever a rapper or celebrity would die, we'd make a commemorative t-shirt and sell them on eBay and make thousands of dollars. People were looking for them soon, so you just make them. So yeah, the print-on-demand business was crazy. So man, that's awesome. And so how long have you been doing it now for?
We launched Crown & Paw in March 2019, so it's just over 3 years old now. But I've been in print-on-demand for a few years, more than that, I'd say 4 or 5 years.
Okay. And now you're upwards of $10 million in revenue?
Yeah, it's crazy. Run rate. Crazy.
That's so wild. Because when I first saw it, I saw it on a Facebook ad, and I sent it to my buddy. I just got a French bulldog, let's call it 3 years ago. And I was looking for, in the beginning of CrossNet days, we weren't paying ourselves. So I was like, what other side business can I try to make some money on? So I took the Crown & Paw idea for about 2 months, and it was called Canvas Kids. That was the name of the company we tried to make. And you'd put your child's photo on a Renaissance head. And I don't know if you guys are doing humans or not now, but we took some kids. It was so hard because the lighting needs to get perfect. We couldn't find a good designer. We were running Facebook ads, so it was very profitable. And my boy bought a Staples printer. He was printing the shit at his house, mailing it out. Amount of lessons that we went through in 2 months, I could only imagine at your scale. I want to hear about that.
Yeah, I mean, we've been through the ringer with it, especially the first year, 2019. Like you said, there are so many moving parts. Everyone talks about print on demand as if it's this similar to drop shipping in that it's just hands off, so easy. And yes, it can be. But when you're doing custom stuff, it is so difficult. The customer expectation is so high and you have to meet that. Otherwise, you're going to end up with unhappy customers. But I mean, just going back to 2019, it was so successful so quickly. I was running the ads myself for the first 3 months. And honestly, every KPI I look at in an ad account, it was just crazy. I'd never seen CPMs so low. And it was because of the newness of it, I think. And it was just weird. And also it's pets. Seeing the revenue climb day by day, I actually recorded a video the day I had the idea for Crown & Paw. And I look back at it now and I look terrible. I've just woken up. I'm in this dressing gown. My hair's a mess. And I'm like, I've just had an idea. I know this is going to work. I had so much conviction in the idea. Anyway, I recorded a video every day up until we did 100K revenue because I knew it was going to work. But it just went crazy. from 0 to 100K in probably like a few weeks. And then from 100K to a million in 2 months, probably, I'd have to check. And then within 9 months, we'd done 10 million, but we just were not servicing the orders properly. Like, customers weren't getting previews, but we couldn't give them a preview because there was no automated way to do that. And yeah, it was just one extra job in the order production pipeline that added more time. And we just didn't have the time available because it was already taking us like 10 days to produce the artwork because the art team was so small. And so when you get to like Black Friday, because it's such a seasonal gift, like, we were doing multiple six figures in revenue a day. And this backlog of orders was just piling up behind us. And the artists were working 24/7. The customer support team were getting no sleep. I was in a cafe in Bangkok for 4 hours answering emails, which isn't my job, but when it needs to be done, you get it done.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, we nearly lost the business because I was so enamored with this giant revenue figure. Right. I didn't care about, are these customers getting the orders in time and stuff like that. And we nearly lost the business. Like, we had so many chargebacks. We had Visa, Stripe, PayPal, MasterCard, all those guys asking us, okay, you need to change things. You need to give us a list. I think like Visa said, give us 3 things that you're going to change in the next 3 months. Otherwise, we're not dealing with you. I was like, okay, this is serious. So yeah, I mean, I realized the scalability of it, but I was so focused on the revenue, and that's just one part of the business. Yeah, so
that's such a tough lesson, man, because I've been there before in a similar capacity when COVID hit, right? And as a founder, all we do is wake up and we want to make money and you want to make profit. And when you're seeing the money actually come in after you've busted your ass for so long, how do you stop taking orders? Everyone on the internet's like, oh, you should just shut down your shop. Stop accepting orders for a few days or a few weeks to catch up. Did you do that or no?
We didn't do that, but...
Good. I didn't either.
No, that makes me feel better. Thank you. The ad agency that I was working with at the time had a really great team. We were very close with them. And the account manager there, he always made a joke the years following that it was so big so quickly that we actually did put a massive pop-up on the website, and we changed the banner on the website saying, do not order. This is not arriving in time for Christmas. And we were still getting like 50, 60Ks worth of orders a day in December when it was way past our shipping cutoff. Like, we were not going to get that delivered to them for Christmas. Mm. We were making it as obvious as possible. Even on like the shipping page on Shopify checkout, it was like, in brackets, this is not arriving for Christmas. And it was, people were ordering and then emailing a week later saying, hi, it's Christmas Eve. Where's my order? Oh.
What do you want to hear? Here. Yeah. Like, how did you not read it? Yeah, dude. I've been there. It's so frustrating. And that's like a good lesson for anybody that's even been in that situation or is pre-selling, right? I've seen a lot of my friends' companies be shut down before they even started because they started drop shipping something that was supposed to be on the water, never got manufactured. And now you're taking customers' money and not fulfilling stuff for 3 months. That's also a shitty situation to be in.
Yeah. Huge. I think there's a lot of like younger guys getting into e-commerce now or have been in it for like maybe a year or less. And they're all very much obsessed with make money now and make as much as possible rather than keeping their eyes on the prize, which really should be building a long-term brand and looking at it. I've started taking a different approach to the business now. I've started telling myself we're running Crown and Paul for 10 years, not for, I don't know, 3 years. And just telling yourself that whenever you make a decision, it does impact which decision, like the way you go with that decision, I've realized. So this year has been quite transitional for us. We're trying to turn it into a much bigger rounded pet lifestyle brand rather than just this novelty gifting website, which in all honesty, it currently is right now, but it won't be in 6 months to a year's time.
That's exciting. And I really like what you said there because even in my daily life at CrossNet, making decisions that may not be the best right now, but I'm chasing revenue just so I could hit some top line goals, right? Or hit profitability goals. But I know I should be patient and wait a month or 3 months or 6 months to actually do it properly.
Yeah.
I like that perspective because I'm running my business for the next 5-10 years, right? And I love what you said where you're not making stupid decisions because it's a 10-year play. It's not a 3-week play.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think also just touching on the chase in the top line, it's only recently that having spoken to people who've been there and done that in terms of selling their businesses for huge sums, it's like learning about what potential acquirers look for in the growth of the business. Like, we went from 0 to 10 million in year one, 10 to 20 year two. We're not going to do that growth every single year because year four, you're looking 100, 1 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 80 million. Are we going to do 80 million this year? No, not a chance. And it's like, what do the acquirers look for? Well, they want steady growth year over year. So for us, like, that's an issue because we're not going to do 20 million like we did in 2020. But at the same time, we're changing the entire business. And hopefully when it comes to selling in however many years, they'll look at it from this year onwards, like, okay, they turned it into this sort of brand. We can kind of look past that massive first 2-3 year period when it was just print on demand. And as I said, there's so many people running these businesses trying to get the biggest revenue screenshot ever to put on Twitter. You're not going to sell that to anyone.
Exactly. 100%. That's such a good lesson for sure. Are you advertising differently than you were in the first few years, or is it still primarily just through Facebook?
I mean, we are and we're not. And I say that because, I mean, in terms of paid ads, Facebook and Instagram are still our main bread and butter. And then we're also on TikTok and Google. But we look at our post-purchase surveys and 25% of customers are either referrals, word of mouth, or it's actually, or about 30% revenue comes from repeat customers. But then in addition to that, you've got about 15 to 20% referrals, which is great. And I think I'm starting to see the impact of running a business long-term. This is probably the longest I've ever run a business, and I'm starting to see the traction just from SEO, Google, organic search, as I said, referral, and people actually know the name. I've had a few calls the past week where someone said to me, funny story, I was in my friend's house the other day and I saw this weird portrait on the wall. I said, where's that from? They said Crown and Paul. And it's just cool that people actually recognize it. So yeah, to answer your question, Facebook and Instagram, the main places in terms of paid media, but also Google and TikTok. And so it's essentially the same as it has been the past few years, but we're doing it a lot leaner this year. I'm not chasing massive numbers. Saying to a friend the other week, the first year we were so adamant that we wanted to do 10 million and my ads agency knew that. And then a year later, the ads agency said to me, oh yeah, look at the spend on the 31st of December. And I looked at it, it was like ridiculous amount, but he did that because he knew we wanted to hit that 10 million. It was probably break even on the last day of December, but I didn't care because we hit that 10 million, but it just makes no sense in terms of the profit.
Yeah, it's crazy. The stupid decisions we all make to try to chase top line. Yeah. When in reality, the only thing that matters is how much is in the bank account at the end of the day and what the profit actually is.
Absolutely.
And until you're actually in our seats doing that, where you have people who are responsible for their paychecks. I mean, having a team built out, I'm sure you've learned a lot there. What's the current team structure look like now? What was it? And what have you learned there?
Yeah. So 2019, when we were severely understaffed, we had, from what I can remember, we probably had two like department managers. So we had a printing department who were responsible for taking the art files and sending them to the printer, and then a customer support manager. And then we just had a load of other people doing random stuff. There was no organization to it at all, really. And then we had maybe 50 artists up until October. And we didn't kind of, I treat it as almost inventory planning as you would with an actual brand that holds stock. But yeah, we kind of inventory plan in terms of how many pieces of art can we produce a day. And we have 50 artists and we could do X amount of artwork a day. Up until,
and are they all full time? Are they on salary? Yeah. Sorry to cut you. I'm really like interested. They're all on salary.
Salary. They get paid per artwork approved by the customer. But okay, back then it was pay per artwork that gets printed. Like, we didn't do customer approvals, as I said. But yeah, we had 50 artists, and then it got to the 1st of November, let's say, and we realized, oh, we've got 2,000 orders in a backlog we didn't see, didn't know about for whatever reason. And so we hired like crazy people and ended up with 300 artists, but we hired them so quickly that a lot of them were producing really bad artwork. It was just a mess and we were in a rush and we didn't know what to do, basically. So that's just lack of organization, really. And then every year since, we've had a team and a structure in place in terms of, okay, let's do the numbers. This is what's forecasted to come in terms of order volume. This is the average items per order. This is how many pieces of artwork per order. This is how many artists we need to produce that. How many artists do we have? Okay, let's make teams of 10 to 20 artists, put them underneath one art manager that manages them, and then art director, go hire this many people. And it works like a charm now. So yeah,
That's awesome. A lot different. It's funny to think about people as inventory almost, having those art designers.
Yeah, that's kind of robotic, but it's just how I see it.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Actually, going back to 2019, another big lesson was just reliance on software that was not purpose built. I don't know how you did it when you tried to run a similar business, but what we did was we had Trello, Zapier, Integromat, Google Sheets, Google Drive, all set up so that they were pulling in all the orders and all the attachments, the photos automatically, being renamed automatically and put in a certain folder on Google Drive, and a Trello card was created for every order. What we didn't realize was that you can only have 3,000 cards per Trello board, and when that gets full, the Zapier automation stops. So we had a full Trello board, 3,000 orders, and I said to my Zapier guy, there's an issue here. We're not getting any of the orders coming into Trello. We need some more Trello boards. So we made another one. We filled that within another day. 6,000 orders. Said, right, I think his name was Andrew. Andrew, we need some more Trello boards. Long story short, we had 8 Trello boards, all full, 24,000 orders, all frozen, and we could not move these orders on Trello. So nobody knew who was working on what. Nobody knew what part in the production process the order was in. It was horrendous, really bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We didn't get to 24,000. We got to 12 orders. We had 12 orders and we shut down shop. It was too much of a headache. I finally got the Shopify app where you uploaded the JPEG, but it had to be a certain size. Otherwise, it'd be messed up. I then sent it over to our designer in like India. And dude, some of the photos were so bad. I think it's easier to see when the kid looks really ugly on a Renaissance head because it's like some ugly baby, right? But like for a dog, like dogs just look cute regardless. Like it was so obvious when the kid's face just looked terrible.
That is true. We do humans and we do find that people are a lot more particular about the human ones. I think it's because the way you smudge it, like the skin can just get so distorted, whereas a pet's fur, you can't really tell. So yeah, we definitely went down the right route in terms of focusing on pets.
Yeah. And the pet also can't complain if the photo looks ugly.
The pet loves it, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, dude. So I know one thing, we were a little chatting a little bit before the show, firing. I want to talk about firing because it's an uncomfortable subject and people don't talk about it enough. Mm. One of my biggest things as an operator, one of my biggest fuck ups, right? And I'll candidly talk about it, was 2020, COVID hit. We have 20,000 units back ordered. I'm swimming in cash, right? CrossEd's doing better than ever. Went from 2 million to 9 million like that. We then have this idea of how do we turn this $9 million business into a $20 million business in 12 months using the COVID anomaly on top of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we hire all these people. We barely know what the people are doing for 40 hours a week, but we know we need staff, right, to scale.
Yeah.
And things aren't scaling because we just had the craziest fluke of the economy ever with COVID. People are more trapped than ever. They need something to do. And I didn't cut people quick enough. Mm-hmm. And I didn't cut low performers. How have you been dealing with that? What have your lessons been like over the last few years seeing that? I'm sure you've made some changes to your team, especially like with us iOS being harder than ever to run ads. You got to be lean.
Yeah, exactly. So with it being very seasonal as it currently stands, like the business as it stands, we hire a lot in September and October in readiness for November and December. And then it comes to January and we have no other option but to just fire staff, get rid, especially the artists. We end up with 300 artists and to January, the seasonality disappears, orders drop. And if you don't do anything, your OPEX is going to kill you, which we realized probably in 2021 when obviously we doubled revenue again in 2020. So we had a giant team. And then January, February, we're looking at our P&L like, where is the profit this year? And you realize, wow, look how much we spent on staff this month. What have they done? Why are they still spending this amount of money this month when the orders have pretty much halved? So in terms of percentage of revenue, the spend on staff is massive. So what we did was we started doing weekly reports with department managers. In their report, they tell us, okay, this is the revenue we generated this week or last week. This is the amount we've spent in our department on staff this week. And this is what that is as a percentage of revenue. And if that is over a certain percentage, we know something's wrong and we have to either change things, streamline things, automate things, reduce people's hours, or get rid of staff. So that's what we do with like our hourly paid internal team. But then also this year, obviously post iOS 14 as well, recession coming or whether we're in it, I don't even know. But it's going lean. It's reducing our OPEX where we can again. So in terms of paid ads, we realized that performance has dropped year over year and we've been with the same people since June 2019. Is it time for a change? Possibly. And it probably is time to make that change and just try it. And I just feel like I personally put off the decision to change agencies for so long because I had some sort of underlying loyalty to the agency I was with because I had such a great time working with them. Like, we did 10 million first year. We doubled it again and just had an amazing time. They invited me to their offices. They were like friends. But I think you lose sight of the fact that this is your company. And if you don't look after it and treat it well, it will die. And yeah, I just left it way too long. The loyalty I had to them was just because of the time I'd been with them. It was nothing to do with performance at all. And I think nowadays, like, we should have done it way sooner, looking at the newer people that are in the space now. People are running crazy numbers. Some of these agencies are reporting insane ROAS for their clients. Some of my friends are saying, why are you not using this agency? Why don't you try these guys? And I'm like, oh, because I've been with these guys for 2.5 years and they've done a good job, but something's going to change if you don't change. So it's difficult.
It's so difficult, dude. Such a tough conversation. I had not to air out my dirty laundry, but we had one of my best friends, childhood friends, were working for CrossNet since day one. And it got to the point where OpEx conversation came up. He's pretty much just on the team just to be a part of the team, but he wasn't providing a $65,000 salary role, right? So we had to make that tough decision. And it's one of the hardest decisions we've ever had to make, but like, the business always needs to come first.
Yeah.
The loyalty is great. Like, you can try to show love in a million different ways, but if it's impacting your company that you've worked so hard for, you need to make those tough conversations. And what I've kind of found lately is it's better to do it today than put it off for another 2 weeks, because in 2 weeks, the conversation is still going to be just as hard.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. It doesn't matter when you have the conversation, it's still going to be difficult.
Exactly.
It means that you've been spending another 2 weeks on salaries and whatever other expenses you don't need to be spending. So put your company in a more difficult position, if anything.
Exactly. Dude, all right. So last question. We're almost at time here. Biggest lesson you've taken away, or if you could look back and tell yourself what's one thing that you would have done differently or something you take away for your next business?
Just think long term. I think the first year, certainly, I was thinking so short term, chasing revenue instead of profit. And I think you see it. It's so common online because we live in this world of social media where people want to show off. And people aren't showing the P&Ls. People are not showing their tax returns. They're showing a revenue screenshot. So what are you going to do? You're going to chase for a bigger screenshot. So if any younger kids are watching, especially dropshippers, like chasing that short term, huge revenue screenshot, just sit down, think about it, think long term. What do you actually want to do? Because dropshipping, you're not going to do that all your life, surely. I just think longer term thinking, it just leads to way better decisions in the business.
I love it. I love it, dude. Thanks so much for jumping on. Get Crown and Paw if you have a dog. Everyone's got a human, so if you've got a human in your life or an animal, go to Crown and Paw, pick something up.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. So that's another episode of My Biggest Lessons. Each and every week, I'll be having one of my favorite entrepreneurs come on, share their stories, their mistakes, the things they wish they knew. Entrepreneurship's a lonely road, right? You only learn by getting better. You only learn by making mistakes. So I want them to come on and share their stories. If you have somebody in mind that you want on, drop a comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Let's get the best people in the world on here. Thanks for listening.